Welcome to the December 2025 News Bulletin podcast for Yacht and Small Craft Marine Surveyors, put together by the International Institute of Marine Surveying. Dear member and fellow maritime professionals, well, it is not often that I find myself the center of the news, but so it seems this month. On my trip to Goa in September to participate in the IIMS Indian Conference, I met up with Nishit Doshi from Trader Magazine, who has closely followed the Institute's progress over the past decade. We chatted and I gave an exclusive interview to him. He was keen to know about my journey over the past decade, leadership ethos, and how IIMS continues to evolve and remain relevant amid sweeping changes across the maritime industry. Reading Nishit's words of introduction to the interview were humbling and much appreciated, indeed. At the same event, Nishit also spoke earnestly with current IIMS President, Captain Ruchindale FIIMS, about leadership, technology, and his vision for a more connected, future-ready IIMS. I recommend the latest report magazine, edition 114, which has been published today. It is another fine blend of hard technical information, incident and accident reports, and a range of quality stories and feature articles. See elsewhere in this news bulletin for how to access and read the magazine. And if you are keen to read about the inside track of life at IIMS this year, do have a read of my review of the year article. 2025 has been a highly successful year for the Institute on many levels. In particular, I am delighted to have met so many members this past year on my travels. Impeccable hospitality and warm welcomes afforded me wherever I have been will live long in my memory. Last month, on behalf of the Maritime Professional Council of the UK, we published Lithium-Ion Batteries, What We Know So Far, which my colleague Francis Burkett and I co-authored. It can be downloaded via the news page of the IIMS website. If there is one thing that has clogged up my inbox all year long, it is lithium-ion batteries. Many surveyors I speak with are so concerned about how little they know or understand. The aim of this publication was never to take a deep dive into the chemistry, although this is important. Nor was it designed to make a surveyor an instant expert in lithium-ion battery technology, for it is complex. It was more about sharing some high-profile case studies and giving people further information and links to guidance to enable them to learn more. The learning curve is a steep one. You can find the report at www.mpc-uk.org. Continuing on the same subject, you may recall that recently I hinted that IIMS had commissioned some extensive training on lithium-ion batteries. I am delighted to say that work is now complete, and the course material is ready for study. The four-module course runs for about 10 hours in total and can be studied at your convenience. It comprises the following: Module 1, Lithium Battery Chemistry and Structure. Module 2, Safety and Installation of Lithium Batteries. Module 3, Maintenance and Electrical Installation. And Module 4, Surveying and Inspections. There are very few specialists operating in this field, but David and Magda O'Neill are at the top of the game. It is they who I turn to when putting this training together. The modules are all available to study remotely in your own time and can be accessed via the IIMS On Demand Training Portal website at trainingportal.iims.org.uk. In the past few weeks, I have announced a few important changes to the IIMS team structure. It is not a major restructure as such, rather a reflection that some of the team's job titles did not reflect either their day-to-day work responsibilities or their seniority within the organization. So, in no particular order, Jen Argent becomes head of finance. Camilla Robertson becomes general manager. Rachel Moores is now membership secretary. Craig Williams becomes senior designer. I have also invited David Parsons, who heads up the IIMS certifying authority, to join our internal management team with effect from the 1st of January 2026. And finally, given that the Christmas holidays are just around the corner, if you celebrate the festivities, may I be one of the first to wish you all the best for a safe and peaceful holiday period and good fortune in 2026. Survey well, Mike. And now, Sarah White MIIMS has written a report on the IIMS Canada Conference 2025 report, which goes as follows. As the recreational waterways began closing for the season and boats were being hauled for winter storage, the Canadian branch of the International Institute of Marine Surveying opened its two-day conference in Hamilton, Ontario, on October 22, 2025. The location was aptly the waterfront center, with a clear view of the harbor. First up to the podium was Mike Schwartz, CEO of IIMS UK, who provided an overview of the Institute and its offerings for those newly introduced to the organization, as well as a synopsis of the year's events at HQ and with our international partners. As the day ramped up, I, along with the other attendees, were honored to welcome such eminent speakers as the following. Rui Fernandez, partner at Gardiner Roberts, a prominent Toronto lawyer, talked about avoiding pitfalls in surveys and investigations, errors and omissions. Rui emphasized the importance of keeping current with industry standards, which made me appreciate the extensive educational and informative material and opportunities provided by IIAMS worldwide. Rui also highlighted the importance of accuracy in the role of the surveyor, both in reports and actions, and to take a lot of pictures, which are imperative in the work we do. Robert Bell, Applied Precision Inc. 3D, followed with a presentation on 3D LiDAR scanning, digital transformation. Robert is the co-founder and president of Applied Precision 3D, a company that develops 3D and AR technology, providing high-accuracy data used in retrofit, inspection, maintenance, wear analysis, 3D CAD and BIM integration, and reverse engineering of vessel components, an impressive resource with a sound place in our industry, supporting surveyors and shipbuilders, repairers. Vicky Gruber, Harbour Master of the Hamilton Oshawa Port Authority, took the podium after lunch on the first day addressing the topic of port safety and security, strengthening the greater harbour community, highlighting the challenges and responsibilities of her and her team's roles in port safety and security with thought-provoking examples of where and when things could have gone very wrong without due diligence, education, training and strong industry relationships, of which marine surveyors are a part. Jamie Buckley, Director of BYD, Naval Architects, presented early afternoon. Jamie has an impressive pedigree in naval architecture and heads a family-run design company 2012, with offices in Southampton, UK, Hamilton, Ontario, and Tampa, Florida. US BYD conducts marine engineering, structural design, new builds and retrofits, laser scanning technical support and services, naval architecture, and vessel surveys. BYD engages in the decarbonization process and uses modern software and AI automation tools, NeuralShipper TM, which make the calculation time shorter and assist with simulations. Simulations examples were shown. Jamie mentioned that in the decarbonization process, the electrical propulsion, installation and energy storage on board, in themselves, become increasingly important. A recurring theme throughout the seminars was the risk associated with lithium-ion batteries in the marine industry. Maciej Rinkiewicz, standards developer with the American Boat and Yacht Council, is a leading voice in marine electrical standards and presented on lithium battery systems and installations on small craft. Maciej focused not only on the construction and different types of lithium batteries but also on the importance of using the correct types and adhering to specific installation requirements, which include the use of battery monitoring systems. Failure to do so can result in dangerous situations. Examples of failures and prevention of failures was discussed, as was thermal runaway situations. The audience was provided with an email address for further questions, tech@abycinc.org. Jan Willem de Jong, Managing Director of Neptunus Yachts. It was a pleasure to welcome Jan Willem de Jong, the Managing Director of Neptunus Yachts, an established Ontario yard that builds Category A luxury recreation pleasure craft from 55 feet to 75 feet. Jan, with the aid of slides, talked about the building process of their yachts and the challenges facing the industry today, government regulations, luxury tax, tariffs and CUSMA, reduced water access, shortage of skilled personnel and sensitivity to economic changes. Neptunus is the only large fiberglass production yacht manufacturer left in Canada. Prem Shankar, the Naval Arch. As our final presentation at the end of the day, we were privileged to have the globally respected naval architect, founder of the Naval Arch and recipient of India's Best Naval Architect Award, Prem Shankar, to present on Where Engineering Meets Survey, Practical Tools for Marine Surveyors. The Naval Arch supports industry stakeholders globally, including surveyors, operators, and contractors, by providing reliable, high-quality software, learning, and engineering solutions. Prem homed in on the close relationship of both surveyors and engineers, providing real-life examples and solutions where his company had assisted surveyors with challenges faced in mooring and towing operations, sea fastening, cargo securing, heavy lifts, pad eyes, deck strength checks, and stability. The Naval Arch provide user-friendly software packages for tow operations, bollard pull, calculations, cargo securing and checklists for operations. The day was completed with an enjoyable opportunity to network and socialize with delegates and presenters in the comfortable surroundings of the Royal Hamilton Yacht Club during cocktails and dinner. Day 2 was equally as informative as Day 1, and started with the privilege of listening to Mike Wall, Managing Director, Mike Wall & Associates Limited, presented live from Bangkok on challenges and sound advice on the Surveyor, Getting Paid. Mike is a fellow of RENA, a chartered engineer, former chief engineer with Cunard Line, a renowned lecturer, author, and industry educator with deep expertise across marine operations and surveying. Mike is the editor of Flashlight and has assisted many surveyors who have faced remuneration issues. Mike's stark message on the importance of getting paid and the surveyor's responsibilities was clearly shared in his presentation. A good interaction with the public was experienced. Mike also publishes useful handbooks on a range of different subjects for surveying companies. Kurt Huck, Transport Canada, Manager, Flag State, Compliance and Enforcement, with Transport Canada, provided a clear outline of the program's goals and challenges, as well as how the marine surveyor could assist. A hot topic in the Canadian marine industry today includes the advances in the Small Vessel Compliance Program, which is of enormous importance to commercial craft not more than 15 gross tonnage, with 12 or fewer passengers, workboats, passenger, fishing and tugs, that are not subject to mandatory inspection under the Vessel Safety Certificate regulations. The program's goal is to improve safety practices and affects over 31,750 in the vessel registry. Surveyors can assist TC in inspections, pilot projects are run and evaluated. Of immense benefit to the conference was the interest and professional advice shared by three well-known and respected lawyers specializing in the marine field, not least was the esteemed Ms. Anumeet Taur, who specializes in international trade compliance and customs law. Anu is a graduate of Windsor Law and has received the J.W. Whiteside Award for her contributions to access to justice. She also represented Canada at the 2018 IMF and World Bank annual meetings in Bali as a member of the Young Diplomats of Canada. Anu spoke on managing liability for marine surveyors, referencing case studies and citing pertinent sections of the Marine Liability Act, while also discussing the surveyors' obligations and risk management of contract terms. Case studies were discussed. Audience interaction both in person and through the virtual Zoom platform with Anu was well appreciated. Chris Kirby, principal of Lani Maritime, represented MRC Marine Recycling Corporation. One of the subjects that is high on the list in the maritime world today is the recycling of recreational craft, commercial small craft, and large ships. Chris Kirby, principal of Lani Maritime, is a 35-year maritime professional who spent his first decade in the industry as a commercial diver and the next two with a tug, barge company. Chris has served clients in several facets of the industry, from heavy haul, survey, salvage, and wreck removal, and has been salvage master on multiple recoveries on all three Canadian coasts, working closely with MRC for the last several years. His presentation provided insight into how MRC has changed and made impressive advancements in clean ship recycling over the years. Chris shared examples of the beaching of the MV St. Clair for ship recycling, noting the Goliath ability of their crew, creative photo moment. Chris also explained how they had improved the efficiency of dismantling craft with diamond wire saws and the importance MRC placed on the cleanliness of their operations. His talk was highly informative and enjoyable to listen to and provided an interesting contrast to Jan of Neptune Yacht's presentation on boat building. It was an honor, towards the end of the day, to welcome back a presenter who has spoken to IIMS members before on behalf of Transport Canada. Luke Tremblay, Transport Canada TC. Luke is the Executive Director, Domestic Vessels Regulatory Oversight, overseeing vessel inspection, certification, and regulation for all Canadian domestic vessels through Transport Canada Marine Safety and Security. He is a seasoned ship designer and former marine consultant, who provides deep technical expertise in regulatory development, safety systems, and compliance, holding degrees in naval engineering, architecture and engineering technology. Luke talked about overview of small vessel oversight, small vessel manufacturers, and importer compliance. Program oversight, marine safety management system regulations, implementation and the Domestic Vessel Oversight Review Initiative. In this highly informative talk, he also touched upon the categories and top 10 safety deficiencies by vessel type. One of the key takeaways for me was the paramount importance of marine surveyors staying up to date with vessel compliance requirements and serving as an essential aid to education in our industry. Jose Luis Duarte, Ford & Bearings Inc., a marine engineer with expertise in marine diesel engines, heavy equipment systems, and field engineering, followed Luke with his presentation on water-lubricated stern tube bearings. Jose works for Thorden Bearings Inc., founded in Hamilton, Ontario, a global leading company in oil and grease-free bearing solutions. He gave a very informative presentation on the environmentally friendly shaft line bearings and the revolutionary T-Boss ship design, which has facilitated inspection and replacement of conventional systems, with significant space-saving benefits. Special water lubrication bearing materials are available for small boats and workboats operating in shallow water, abrasive waters. The event closed out with sound words of wisdom from Mike Schwartz with a presentation entitled 19 Tips for Business Success, which was keenly listened to, as he shared his own personal recommendations from a business career spanning nearly 40 years. The conference was well attended, and the feedback received was highly positive. A special thank you is owed to all who attended, and especially to our presenters who voluntarily gave their valuable time to share their professional knowledge and experience with our delegates. The attendees, virtual and in person, will receive summaries of the presentations and links to the videos of the presentations. Next, IIAMS has put together a list of all the maritime regulation changes that start from the 1st of January 2026, which you can find in a separate podcast. For our next story, Spanish recreational boat registrations fell by 3.9% in the first 9 months of 2025 compared with the same period in 2024. A total of 4,339 boats were registered this year, down from 4,516 between January and September 2024. Although the figures remain negative, the rate of decline has eased slightly from the 5.3% recorded through August, suggesting some stabilization in the pace of the nautical market. These figures come from the Recreational Boat Market Report January to September 2025, prepared by ANEN, the Spanish boating organization, based on records from the General Directorate of the Merchant Navy. Key market movements include: boats up to 6 meters accounted for 3,023 registrations, 4.1% lower than 2024, but still representing 69.7% of the market. The 6 to 8 meters and 8 to 12 meters segments fell 3% and 4.6%, respectively, while boats of 12 to 16 meters declined by 2.4%, and boats over 16 meters declined 6.4%. Motorboats remain the market leader with 1,783 registrations, down 5.4%, representing 41.1% of the market. Jet skis followed with 1,305 registrations, minus 12.2%, and semi-rigid inflatables dropped 8.7%. Folding inflatables saw a sharp rise of 44.7%, with 521 registrations. The recreational boat rental sector registered 1,332 units between January and September, a 19.4% decrease from 1,653 in 2024. The decline was concentrated in boats up to 6 meters, minus 23.2%, and semi-rigid inflatables, minus 26.3%, while rental sailboats dropped 15.2%. By regions, the Balearic Islands led the market with 589 registrations despite a 19.9% decline. Barcelona remained stable at 527 registrations, plus 0.2%. The fastest growing provinces were Murcia, plus 81.4%, Pontevedra, plus 43.7%, Cadiz, plus 26.5%, and Alicante, plus 17.1%. Up next, sustainable innovation company Expedition Zero has launched a £500,000 funding round to accelerate the development of its recyclable composite material, Eco Monera, with a larger £5 million raise planned for 2026. The £500,000 funding will cover R&D, strengthen global IP protection and finalise design work for the next generation of yachts constructed from Eco Monera. The larger funding raise in 2026 will finance further acquisitions and investment in production capacity, positioning Expedition Zero as a leading supplier of sustainable composites for marine and related industries. According to Expedition Zero, Eco Monera is stronger and stiffer per kilogram than fiberglass, water repellent, fire resistant and delivers up to 90% lower environmental impact across the full life cycle than fiberglass. The material has already been used in multiple yachts, including a 60-foot ocean racing vessel that has completed more than 20,000 miles of testing, demonstrating both performance and scalability. Expedition Zero previously announced a strategic joint venture with Innovation Yachts to bring Eco Monera to market. Andrew Cowan, co-founder and CEO of Expedition Zero, says, "We're really excited to work alongside Innovation Yachts, our design and build partner on the launch of Eco Monera. This material is the culmination of many years of intensive R&D by Innovation Yachts, who have proven it's a remarkable, better performing and more sustainable alternative to fiberglass." Expedition Zero began as an adventure sailing initiative, working alongside Innovation Yachts to develop sustainable expedition sailing yachts for commercial operations. The company has since pivoted to focus on materials innovation, developing solutions to the environmental and economic problems caused by fiberglass. In our next report, Princess Anne enjoyed tours of the Boat Building Academy's workshops recently, meeting students of the 40-week boat building course and 12-week furniture courses, including a number who had been awarded bursaries to enable them to attend. Her Royal Highness, who is patron of the National Transport Trust, also unveiled a red wheel plaque, awarded by the Trust in recognition of the Academy's important role in Britain's transport and industrial heritage. She also enjoyed a demonstration of steam bending by assistant tutor Samuel Robinson and current boat building students Hannah Blake and Eleanor Snape. Steam bending involves making wood pliable by exposing it to steam and then bending it to a desired shape. It is used extensively in wooden boat building, most importantly in forming the ribs of boats. Princess Anne assisted in helping to hold the wood while it was secured for bending. Boat Building Academy Director Will Reed said, "This visit comes at a critical time as we prepare to launch a campaign to buy the freehold of our building and in doing so secure the future of the Academy and strengthen the future of the UK boat building industry." For our next segment, electrical engineering multinational ABB has claimed the accolade of powering the world's first ever hydrogen fuel cell superyacht, the FeeChip Breakthrough. Brooks Bell shared the news saying the solution saw ABB integrating the vessel's 3-megawatt hydrogen fuel cells with ABB's onboard DC grid and Azipod propulsion systems. Constructed by Dutch high-end yacht builder FeeChip and launched in May 2025, the FeeChip Breakthrough is a privately owned 118.8-meters yacht. According to a statement issued by the company, ABB's scope of supply comprises the onboard DC grid power system platform and two 3.2-megawatt Azipod electric propulsion units, which minimize noise and vibrations on board. ABB's power and energy management system PEMS optimizes energy use on board, while the ABB Ability Marine Pilot Control digital solution enables seamless transition between joystick operations and dynamic positioning, simplifying docking. As part of the integrated scope, ABB has also provided shipside shore connection technology and remote diagnostic services. The upshot from these features is that the superyacht is able to operate almost silently at anchor, as well as undertake emission-free navigation in harbors or protected marine zones. With 3 megawatt of power, the yacht's hydrogen fuel cell system has sufficient power to operate the vessel's hotel load and amenities, with zero emissions. Furthermore, the fuel cells can provide enough power for up to a week of silent operations at anchor or emission-free navigation at 10 knots. Commenting on the yacht and its ABB systems, Jan Bart Verkeil, FeeChip director, said, "Breakthrough perfectly demonstrates how passenger comfort and environmental protection can go hand in hand on board the world's biggest superyachts. We are grateful to ABB whose extensive technical expertise and dedicated support have been crucial in bringing this project to fruition." Verkeil's words were echoed by Ricardo Repetto, global vessel type responsible, yachts, ABB Marine and Ports. For ABB, this order represents a breakthrough in the integration of marine fuel cells with propulsion systems. More broadly, FeeChip Breakthrough showcases the potential of hydrogen fuel cells as a feasible alternative to conventional energy sources in shipping, helping to encourage their adoption among a wider range of vessel types. We are proud of our key role in this innovative project. Next, the UK Office for Product Safety and Standards has issued a product safety report for two models of Mercury Marine outboard motors. The reason for the recall is that these outboard motors present a risk of injuries as users could trap their fingers in the top cowl air vents during use. The products do not meet the requirements of the Recreational Craft Regulations 2017. This notice applies to Mercury Marine 450R, serial numbers 1EO83006-1EO99696, and the Mercury Marine 500R, serial numbers 1EO99432-1E102508. Mercury Marine is providing a bezel assembly to cover the top air vents of the affected engine models. Consumers with affected products should take their boat to any Mercury Marine authorized dealer for bezel installation. For further information, you can email the UK importer EP Barris Limited via customerservices@barris.co.uk. For our next story, Lloyd's Register has signed a contract with Oceanco to provide classification and certification services for what is set to become the world's largest yacht support vessel. The project builds on a 38-year collaboration between the two companies. The vessel will be built to LR class and is expected to exceed 100 meters and feature extended operational range, heavy-duty logistics capability and energy-efficient systems ready for alternative fuel integration. Engel Jan de Boer, Yacht Segment Director at LR, said, "Our long-standing relationship with Oceanco is built on mutual respect and a shared pursuit of excellence. This project exemplifies what can be achieved when innovation meets integrity." Marcel Onkenhout, Oceanco CEO, said, "This vessel represents not only a leap in scale but also in ambition. We have embarked on an ambitious next chapter, with the stewardship of Gabe Newell, pushing further on design, innovation and sustainability. Collaborating with Lloyd's Register ensures that our boldest visions are realized with uncompromising safety and quality." In our penultimate report, Canada's Federal Budget 2025 has been released, which announced the end of luxury tax on boats. The budget said of its luxury tax, first implemented in September 2022, on aircraft and vessels, that it proposed to axe these tax measures to provide relief to the aviation and boating industries and increase the overall efficiency of the luxury tax framework. NMMA Canada celebrated the decision, which said it had advocated for the outcome alongside Canadian Marine Retailers Association and grassroots supporters across the country. Marie-France McKinnon, Executive Director of NMMA Canada, said, "This is a major victory for Canadian manufacturing and marine businesses. We're grateful to our members, our partners at the Canadian Marine Retailers Association, and MPs from all parties who listened to the evidence and took action to protect Canadian jobs, local businesses, and consumers who want to enjoy time on the water with their families." And for our final report, luxury boat builder Prince's Yachts has said 40 jobs could be at risk after a reduction in wholesale boat orders. The losses represent less than 2% of its workforce of 2,889 and could impact salaried and management positions. The company made a £23 million loss in 2023 but made a profit of £4.9 million last year. This follows a redundancy plan announced just before Christmas last year that resulted in 240 production staff losing their jobs, citing challenging market conditions and the need to further streamline its operations. It followed a challenging financial period, with Princess Yachts reporting a £69 million pre-tax loss in 2022. That's all we have for this month. Thanks for listening.